WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In a couple of weeks, we'll gather, eat way too much delicious food, and then likely wake up the next day and eat some more. For Thanksgiving, many of us make special foods that we might not make at other times of the year, foods that might remind us of loved ones. Given that, do we stick to the tried and true classics, or do we innovate a bit? We discussed it with Ahmed Ali Akbar. He's a food writer for the Chicago Tribune who has kept his father's turkey preparation going strong. And Chef Damar Brown, whose aunt's recipe inspired the mac and cheese he serves as chef de cuisine at Top This Mac and Cheese and Virtue Restaurant and Bar. I began by asking them about their favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal. Here's Ahmed.
I mean, it's got to be the chaos of family. You know, we all get together and we cook, and we don't get many opportunities to do that anymore.
Yeah. What about you, Chef? What's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
I think it's the nostalgia, right? Mm. Like just kind of having those moments, remembering how things used to taste versus what they are now, being able to help now. It's really exciting now.
Yeah, now you can like actually help. Yeah, that's a very good point, right? Instead, back in the day, we used to just smell it from afar from our bedrooms as kids. So Thanksgiving, it's full of tradition. Some of us, though, we want to shake it up a bit and reinvigorate that Thanksgiving menu. Ahmed, you have been making a hot sauce injected turkey.
That's right.
What?
Well, it's not me. My father.
Your dad started.
You got to give my dad and maybe some of his other Pakistani immigrant peers. I actually called him. He's in Pakistan to get the real story. Apparently, he's been making it from before I was born. I did not even know that.
Wow.
But what they do is my dad, a medical professional in the 90s, felt turkey was dry, felt turkey needed spice because he's Pakistani and they like spice. He used to put hot sauce on anything. He, I think, brought syringes home from the hospital, clean ones, of course, and made a little like buffalo sauce kind of thing and injected under the skin and in the meat.
Oh my goodness.
And that's like, I thought turkey was amazing. I would hear people at school say, turkey is so dry, it's so unflavorable. I'm like, I love turkey.
I still hear people say that.
Yeah, and I still am a turkey defender. Now that I've had other people's turkeys, I kind of get it. But I think our hot sauce injected turkey is pretty good and flexible.
So what does it taste like? I mean, obviously it's juicy.
Yeah.
But it's hot. I'm not a hot sauce fan.
It's not. It doesn't have to be hot. The thing is, it's funny because when you read food magazines, they don't recommend the injection. Like most people are like, it's not worth the time
especially
and effort.
Especially hot sauce. Yeah. And what kind of hot sauce?
So we're mixing like a butter, a spice, and so maybe a little bit of extra acid. So there's like, it's really freestyle in a way. We've done it in a lot of different ways. But the basic idea is you're getting it under the skin and in the muscles as well. And it doesn't actually go through the whole turkey. It adds some like heterogeneity. So you will see when you're about to bite into the hot sauce, like you want to brine the turkey still. Like now that I'm older and like my dad is not a cook, by the way. He doesn't know anything in the kitchen. But like, so the fact that we have a recipe that is his is amazing. So
oh my gosh.
It gets moist from the brine, but then the hot sauce adds like some pockets of extra flavor. Does that make sense? So it's not all one note.
Just gives it a little razzle dazzle.
Exactly.
So Chef Damar, I got to turn to you, Chef. I mean, what do you like in a turkey from your reaction earlier? I get you don't like it when it's dry.
You know, I've never been a big turkey fan. I think at some point in my house, we started roasting a couple of chickens.
Yeah.
We were like, we're not standing in line, right? This yeah. thing is too large.
Turkey substitute.
Right. So we would trust in roast chickens and be happy with that. I do like this hot sauce and turkey situation.
Maybe you guys can talk after the show. Swap tips. I mean, we all hate a dry turkey, though, yeah, right? Absolutely. So, I mean, what would you say, Chef, are some common pitfalls that home cooks make when it comes to putting together the big bird?
I think, you know, the whether you brine it or marinate it or whatever you're going to do, mm-hmm. the common pitfall is they let it cook till that little temperature thing pops out, right? And that's not when it's done. That's when it's overdone. Mm. Anytime you see the meat receding from the bone, you know you've kind of overstepped the boundaries.
Too much.
So it's simply overcooking, right? I think that I would suggest buying a meat thermometer. Right. I would suggest, I know people aren't going to like this, but separating the dark meat from the breast, right, because they cook at different temperatures and different times.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you cook the bird properly, it's fine, because we've gotten this thing where we're like, turkeys are dry. No, we've made them dry. Right.
We yes. did
that. That's our fault. So it's really just about cooking it properly.
Yeah. So our producer, Linnea, before this program today, she talked with Patricia Lee from the South Loop, who is the aunt of one of our colleagues here at the Sun-Times, Sheldon Holmes. Now, Aunt Patricia makes the mustard greens for Thanksgiving because it reminds her of her late father. Let's listen.
Without my greens, maybe Thanksgiving would go on, right? But it just adds a dimension that I think is intangible. It's like, that's Papa's greens, right? And it just feels like in memory of the ancestors, in memory of those who have gone before that we love so dearly.
I love that so much. I mean, I think of my grandmother who made like the best cherry cheesecake ever. I mean, she's been gone since I was like 15, but I still remember the taste. Is that weird? Still remember the taste. I still want to recreate it. How do you two keep your ancestors or our memories present during the holidays? You first, Ahmed.
Well, it's interesting for me because as immigrants, we made our own traditions. The hot sauce turkey is that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that is changing every year. I mean, my father, when I talked to him, he said he wanted to do Thanksgiving as Americans were doing it. He wanted the big turkey. He wanted the showstopper. You know, he didn't want to do a tandoori chicken, which he could have done and would have been delicious.
Right.
But he wanted to try those traditional things. And we grew to love the foods of Thanksgiving as a result of experimenting. And because, you know, my mother was quite sick in my youth. Like, as kids, we were actually brought into the kitchen pretty young. That was some of my earliest and happiest memories, was actually being allowed to innovate in the kitchen.
And
there were some failures on Thanksgiving. That's one thing you learn about Thanksgiving is people get upset if you change the traditions.
Oh yeah.
So we don't veer too far off. We're not actually doing a lot of Pakistani things, but we push the boundaries. Like, other people in my family do a tandoori chicken. They do a tandoori turkey rather.
Right.
So like, everyone has their own kind of.
I want to try that. Sounds so interesting.
No, I'm a partisan of the hot sauce turkey. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah,
I mean, no disrespect to my uncle who I love so deeply, but I'll put my turkey against his anytime.
Nice. Okay, so speaking of traditions, Chef, I got to talk about mac and cheese.
Absolutely.
It can be really divisive on Thanksgiving. People get really serious about who makes it, how, you know, the mac and cheese comes in. It's like, who made that, right? You know,
Absolutely.
That's a whole, you can get cornered, like, who made the mac and cheese? And every family thinks that they have the best recipe. And I wonder if it's a debate in your family, too.
You know, it's not really a debate at this point. I think
because you're the winner.
Well,
because it's
I'm
you.
Not
you're
say
the
that.
One.
They started me off on the path that I'm on now. But what I will say is fun because, you know, Thanksgiving for me was always about the sides. And those sides had owners and names, right? So my aunt, she made the mac and cheese. So we knew it was Inga's mac and cheese.
Inga.
My mother made the dressing. So it was Trina's dressing, right? And my grandmother made the collard greens. Everybody knew Arlene made the collard greens. So it was no changing that. There was no conversations about it. That's just what was happening.
Well, tell me about the star Inga, the mac and cheese.
Yeah. So my aunt made, you know, traditional baked macaroni and cheese, right? So you would have the kind of crusty brown top.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of slice out like a lasagna, right? You have that brick situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think about when I think about mac and cheese. What I've grown to kind of work on over the years.
Yes, give me your version, which is in my hands right now.
Absolutely. So this is kind of a mix of what I would call both camps, right?
Okay.
So you either have that baked mac and cheese, or people have that memory of that kind of creamy Kraft situation. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, all right, how do we incorporate both of those things, right? And it's still creamy, it's still emulsified, but it has that crust, which we all love, and mm-hmm. it has that appearance of it's been in the oven for 45 minutes. Thank you.
This is really good.
I'm also going to try some.
Yes, try some, Ahmed. This is really creamy.
Right, thank
how
you.
How do you get it to this consistency? Oh my gosh.
You know, it's something I've been working on for years, mm-hmm. right? So I ate my aunt's mac and cheese growing up. I started working in professional kitchens and understanding how to emulsify things, right? Mm-hmm. And I started making mac and cheese for staff meal quite a bit because it's an opportunity to cook for 30 or 40 people, right? So I've probably been doing this for like the last 8 years or so, just kind of baking a pan off, like, okay, I don't like that, changing that. And we've landed on something that I feel really, really good about that my aunt likes.
So. I mean, I'm going to put it down for now because I got to get through the rest of this conversation, but I will be revisiting that. By the way, what is the best way to reheat mac and cheese leftovers?
You know,
because sometimes when you reheat it, it's not as good.
I think you got to put it in the oven, right? It has to be made properly beforehand, but you got to put it in the oven because the microwave kind of changes things, so you got to know what you're doing there.
You agree, Ahmed?
Yeah. I'm still thinking about his mac, honestly.
Yeah, it's so good.
The fact so that there's good. The emulsified
trying so
pasta.
Hard to...
Like, I've been doing that for my daughter, making an emulsified kind of homemade craft version of that. Like, I've been working on that. Mm. Usually, I do the crusty type for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And so, in my head, I was like, what am I going to do this year? Because I actually really like the emulsified version, but I usually do. So, now you've done
You don't have to choose. You well, not have to
I don't have your skills. Yeah. So, I'll have to learn from you.
Well, you know, we've got some debate among the team here about the type of noodle mm-hmm. and topping that should be used. So does it need to be a macaroni or should it have breadcrumbs on top? Where do you stand? I want to hear from both of you. Ahmed?
I do the kind of crust like this. This is
like
pretty
this
similar
one?
To
yeah.
how I like it. Yeah,
yeah, I like
you
this crust
it,
too.
But it's just kind of beautifully caramelized and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has to be elbow macaroni. I think that there's, you know...
I'm an elbow macaroni fan, too.
Right, and we don't do the breadcrumbs. We don't do all that stuff, right? Like, it's mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the fillers.
We don't need the fillers. We're just doing too much.
Exactly.
So do you want it, back to the consistency, do you want it more saucy or, like, able to slice it with it, just able to slice it with a knife?
Well, you know,
you mentioned the comparison to lasagna before.
Right. So this isn't a lasagna mac and cheese, but I think if you looked at it before you cut into it, it looks like that, right? So it'll give that perception, but you want the creaminess, right? So for me, that's what I really enjoy, right? I want it to be emulsified. I want it to be really, really creamy. I want the noodles to be coated in cheese, right? Mm-hmm. Sauce versus chunks of cheese and chunks of noodles that don't really seem like they know each other.
Yes.
But we want this to be one thing.
Makes sense. What are your favorite sides at Thanksgiving, Ahmed?
That's a good question. I think it's mac and cheese.
You know, so you like so you're pretty cheese. You're a pretty simple guy.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
like your hot sauce injected turkey.
Well, it's odd because like I am definitely somebody who likes the more complicated stuff. But for Thanksgiving, we do keep it simple because in many ways it's not the tradition that we grew up with. You know, we kind of invented it as a family together, and so you know those memories are learning together.
Yeah.
And so I think about again, it's like sure, it's. Somebody's specific recipe, but it's like, remember that year when somebody else took the reins of that? Because it's not really shared in our family because everyone is like doing it in different parts of the country. And, you know, we try to meet up, but like it doesn't always happen. So like, you know.
It's tough. Everybody's all over the place for my family. We're in different countries and it's, you know, whose house are we getting to? And then also half of us are in Canada. There's two different Thanksgivings that we've got to consider here.
I will shout out my cousin. We did not eat marshmallows growing up because they have gelatin in them, which usually has pork.
Yes.
As Muslims. But my cousin has been for years trying to push the marshmallow yams, you know, like the yams that have marshmallows on
like
them.
Oh, yes, like candied yams.
Halal ones. And he's like, he thinks they're the best thing in the world.
Halal candied yams?
Well, the gelatin is halal.
Yes.
So you can find halal marshmallows, right?
Oh, very cool.
And I was so skeptical. And every year I would eat it and like kind of pretend like I didn't like it. But I have to give him credit.
That
He spends hours on this thing. Like, this man will be peeling sweet potatoes for hours. I don't know how it takes him so long to do that.
I had no idea that was a thing. That's great. I love that you threw that in there. So leave us then, Chef, with tips for people listening now. If they want to try and recreate any of your dishes at home.
You know, I think recreating, one, there's a time and a place, right? At Friendsgiving, recreate some things, yes. right? If you're with your spouse and your kid, try some new stuff. If you're with the elders, right, your mom, your auntie, grandma, dad, the people who created the nostalgic memories for you,
yes.
right, you want to stick to the recipes that they've shared. And I think that is really interesting because we always say that these things are so simple, right? I grew up eating it, it's so simple. But it's not. There's a lot of technique behind the things that I saw my mother and my grandmother doing. And it's obvious because everybody can't do them.
Right.
And as you said, right, you see someone else try to do it, and we all remember the time that it didn't work.
Right. That's true.
So I think so that true. Even though these things are presented really simple, there's a lot of beautiful details in what these people were doing, right?
Yeah.
Just one last thing. It's so nice to hear this in a way, because I'm realizing really that like our parents as immigrants created this tradition for us because they didn't have it. Like our parents don't actually like Thanksgiving food that much, but out of like a love for us and that like they wanted to make this thing, another thing that culturally we love, which is eating together, you know, sharing food, like it's actually the next generation's for them that we're doing it. So it's like a very different thing than you know, what you're describing. I'm actually not thinking, like, I don't care what the elders think because they usually don't care at all. Like, they're just doing it because they love us.
You're thinking of
that,
the kids.
Does that make sense? You know, so it's really, I'm really like processing this now that that's what Thanksgiving has been.
We're all
about.
Approaching it in different ways.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. That's Ahmed Ali Akbar, who's a food writer for the Chicago Tribune, and Damar Brown, who's a chef de cuisine of Virtue Restaurant and Bar and Top This Mac and Cheese. Thank you both so much. Happy eating. This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. If you're interested in hearing more conversations like this, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.